of the 27th Psalm, and thank you for allowing me this opportunity. I'm going to set your psalm book right here to the right, okay? If you look for it later, it's right there. And so I'm sitting here looking at and thinking about my thoughts, what I would like to say this morning. And if any of y'all know me, I got the thought bugs running through my head constantly. And I'm over here writing stuff down. And I'm like, you need to stop me before otherwise I'll just keep writing stuff and we'll just be here till, and then somebody's got to stop me. So I stopped short last night, and I tried to keep it very brief, and I thought by the time I got here, it would probably be expanding, because Brother Mark's going to do a lesson, and then everybody's going to have good comments. Turn it a little bit higher like this. Oh, thank you. I'm scared to turn this on. I don't know where I'll get to turn it off. Anyhow, so... So, let me take a look one more time at the 27th Psalm, just in case you didn't get that. Because I spared him. I didn't have Caleb read the whole thing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumble and they fall. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And this whole psalm is one of many in the psalms that I've found myself in growing toward reading and leaning and looking for ways to pray to God. And I was just sitting and looking at that, and Julie's over there reading, and she's reading the 113th, and I glanced over at the 111th. It reads, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought after of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given meat unto them that fear Him, and He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of His of the heathen. The works of His hands are truth and judgment, and all the commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto His people, and He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever." We are a blessed people. We are tremendously blessed. And I think of, and I've got marks all in my Bible here, so I'm going to try to grab the right one. Here we go. Set that off of here so I don't go there again. And I think of Paul. And when Paul says... He's praying about the thorns of the flesh. And the answer is, therefore I take... he says that the answer was that my grace is sufficient for thee. That was the answer when God asked, or when Paul asked God to remove the thorn from his flesh. He had a response to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it says, "For though I will desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me that above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of the revelations there was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to bruise or buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And I was reading this morning, Brother Brian Dawkins from the Vegas Valley Congregation sends out a snippet periodically of brethren who have written articles, and one of them stated that One of the statements was that God's grace is giving us what we do not deserve. God's mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. And so I want to reflect a little bit more on God's grace. When Paul said that was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, you know, we all like wonder what that was. Me, I'm a fan of the idea that it was his eyesight. That's just me. I think other people have read Scripture and we all try to figure it out. But whatever the case, the answer was, when to take it away, was well, my grace is sufficient for you. And what does that mean? And so what I wanted to think about and talk about a little bit is, I guess seems like there's a, here lately, I'm devoting these thoughts to all the brothers and sisters who've we've got a lot of things going on in our congregation, a lot of burden of life that we're bearing, it seems like. It's noteworthy. I think a lot of us are like, wow, this is what's going on. But on the other hand, I don't think we're all exempt from these struggles in life. I think some that are young, even I look back and I think, okay, how long ago was that? And I go, yeah, it did. I remember struggling with things when I was in college. Julie remembers me crying over a couple of things. She's like, you're crying? I says, yeah, college was not pleasant for me. So yeah, we can be young and we can still struggle. We can sometimes feel like life is crushing us and grinding us to dust. And we're a blessed people, though, because we have the privilege, the right, the fact that we can go to our Father in heaven and we can bring our prayers to the God of all creation, and we know that He who made all of this, who has the power to do anything, is there looking down on us, watching after us. That maybe we won't get the answer that we want, but then how do we respond to that? So we know we're blessed. We know that God is there. We have that knowledge. For those of us who are the sanctified, we try to grow in that knowledge. We try to grow by faith so that knowledge, that understanding has more meaning to us year by year as we grow stronger in our faith, and it means more and more to us. What kind of words can I present? What can I give? What can I do to offer up a message to the brethren here who have, and thank you, by the way, I've been winging it so much lately. I've been winging it in the classroom. It seems like I walk in trying to keep up with stuff. I feel like I'm walking in unprepared. I feel like I'm walking here unprepared. Brother Howland offered, it said, hey, would you, and I feel greatly honored that someone's like, oh, he doesn't think I'm so bad a Christian I shouldn't be preaching. So that's something, I guess. So I'm greatly honored that I can be with brethren and speak words here on Sunday morning. Apologize to the guests, because you got to hear one of the brothers preach in the spirit of 1 Corinthians, about two or three stand up and speak. So this may be more of an extended Wednesday night lesson than a traditional Sunday morning lesson. But what can I say that would to pick people up, to strengthen them? And Sister Liz was asking me this morning, so how are you doing? And I've gotten to where I don't ask people that anymore. So how's it going? Not to criticize. I just sort of say, you know, it's good to see you, or something like that, because I'm like, how is it going? And then I start thinking, well, how is it going? And I got to think about it this morning. I was like, well, you know what? I think today it's going like this. Today is a blessing because it's unique. It may be terrible and the things that happened to me, but it would be unique as the next day in eternity. If I'm blessed and the Lord has given me, if I am walked faithfully and I receive that crown of life, I can look back that was the next day in eternity with Him. That this is today's what it was. It's different and it's unique to me. So even though it may be not necessarily pleasant, it is different and unique. It may be my walk of faith. I can look back and go, it's different from anybody else. And it would be my story maybe a million years from now, if my brain allows me to remember that long. We can share, well, what was that day like, or what was going on? It'll be different. So I guess it is a blessing.
But I've got to continue to remember the context of things. And that's what I'm hoping to do. Let's take a look at that and reflect on the context of where maybe we can encourage one another to try to be strong in the knowledge of the Word. And I started trying to think, and I'm going to put passages together, and it turned out everything I wanted to say was in 1 Peter chapter 1. So let's see if I can turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and just read 1 Peter chapter 1. Give you a chance there to get there. And I'm going to read a little bit here until I get to verse 7, okay? And it says, Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered out throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the powers of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the past time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than the of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In verse 2, it talks about the elect. According to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, and peace, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So much is said right there that God had set this up, that this has all been planned, that we have a Father. And I know this is something that you've heard before, but if you allow me to walk with me through this once more, is that this is a God of creation that didn't just make the vast universe that's amazing in and of itself, but actually a Father that planned and orchestrated this entire testament covenant that he has with us. That from the very beginning, he walked mankind from the most simple understanding of physical, of the spiritual things by physical law. He walked man through it. He started with Adam, and then he introduced and allowed them to understand sin. He found a man, Abraham, in order to set up a covenant, and a covenant agreement that was a physical one. He walked a step-by-step man to bring us to, through all of the difficulties of relationship with him. We've been talking about this in our Sunday morning class about the numerous times that the people he chose rebelled against him, repeatedly rebelled and rebelled. And I don't think it would be too far-fetched to say to broke his heart repeatedly. And he continued to bear with people for the purpose of this long-term goal that his son would have to be that lamb, that perfect sacrifice. So for thousands of years it took to build this, to come to this point of where we have what we live in is the gospel age, the New Testament, New Covenant, where we have the full revealed Word. And it says, and Peter is writing to the elect, or the sanctified, those who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge, not predestination, but a predefined way. That those who would humble themselves before his son and his sacrifice and in obedience to the commands, that he predestined that this is how it would be, that the only way in would be an entrance through obedience and an obedient heart, not picking and choosing individuals, but those who would yield to the King that is worthy. And he did this from the very beginning. And then it goes into verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That Jesus is our King. He was resurrected. He is the firstborn of the resurrection. And we have a living hope. And that was, I remember when that was explained to me, it's like the hope, like you're on the Titanic, or no, not Titanic, because some of them were saved. Let's give an example. You're on a boat and it's sinking. You there's nobody around. You sort of, you might hope somebody comes by, or you might, that's not the kind of hope this is. This is the hope as in, you have no hope and you're out in the middle sinking or whatever, your boat is sank, and now a boat comes along. Now you have a hope. And Christ is that hope. We have a hope, whereas there was none before. Again, it's grace is receiving that which we do not deserve. And he's a living hope, not one who died, and living being as in, we know that this world is limited and we would die, but it's so hard sometimes to see past the things that are in front of us, the day-to-day struggles, and to get emotionally torn down by that, emotionally just feeling like, how will I survive this? And to try to see past it. He has given us a means to see past it, to reflect. He's given us a word that's and the promises of a living hope, one who died but then was resurrected by the Spirit, and who lives and sits at the right hand of God on the throne of grace and mercy, at the mercy seat, who is our King and High Priest. We have that if we can keep our mind on it in these difficult times, and we can reflect and think about these glorious things. I was talking with someone about the word that we have and how wonderful it is, and how the Jews had the Old Testament. And you wonder, it's like, I wonder if the Jews sat around and thought, you know what, one day this Old Testament is going to be, it's going to be fulfilled and complete. We're not, it's going to be some value, but it's going to go, and then there's going to be a whole New Testament written, a whole new set of New Testament, New Covenant writings, inspired writings. You know, those contemporaries of Isaiah. Oh yeah, this we got all the prophets, and Isaiah's even writing new stuff. But you know, one day, I carry this around, or I don't know, maybe I got it rolled up in scrolls and stuck in my backpack. I don't know, but you know, it's going to go away, and we'll still have it, but there's going to be a whole new set for whenever the Messiah comes, and we'll have that for learning some. But really, there'll be all this new stuff written. I don't know if it would have dawned on me that everything, all this new stuff would have been written, handed to us. And you know, at the same light, I wonder, once all of the judgment is fulfilled, we, the sanctified who are walking in Christ, once the judgment's been fulfilled and we stood before the judgment seat, we go on. I wonder if we're going to be like in heaven and guys go, okay, yeah, you had, here's some new writings for you now, brand new. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be in heaven when we get there, dwelling a million years from now, if we're going to have more instructions and more sanctified direction. I mean, it's something to think about. Those are the sorts of things we have to think about. We have a hope and we have a future. And it's sometimes we have to see past this world to see that. This inheritance, it can't be taken from us. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fades not away. It's kept in heaven for us. Verse 4. It's kept by God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation? Us, as we walk by faith. Ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are heavy through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that may seem like a long way off. And it may seem difficult. So we go back to reading things like the 111th Psalm or the 27th Psalm or any one of them, and we find these writings that inspire us and encourage us. So, verse 8, whom having not seen, we have not seen any of these apostles. We haven't seen Jesus. We haven't seen these things. So, whom having not seen, you love. And whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice. With a joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported to you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So many people want a miracle. And there's so many, it seems like there's so many people who are groping, looking for a sign. And this is nothing new. And they want to believe that. And so I don't know if this is going to be a very encouraging thought for you. I hope you see the bigger picture. We have now, at this point, everything we need for life, godliness, righteousness, and salvation. Even though we do not see, the kingdom with the King sitting in glory, we don't see that. We don't see these apostles. We don't see these. We don't see the fulfillment of the judgment day. We don't see the judgment throne. We merely read what has been done by faith, the Word of God, and then we walk by faith, and so we trust in that. And there's so many today, I think, that look for a miracle, or they're looking for someone who's making promises of healing, of having the burdens lifted up from this world, who are looking for promises of, there's of course the shallow, probably the shallowest of the shallow, which is just looking for wealth, success in business. Those are always popular, faith, religions out there. But I think a lot of them are, there's a lot of people who are being misled or looking for just the pain to be lifted out of their life, whether it be physical or, and sometimes it may be that it is for us to bear that thorn in the flesh, that God's grace is sufficient. And you go, how is God's grace sufficient? Well, think about the fact that He's given us everything, a lesson all the way from the beginning of the creation through every man, starting with Adam, walked us through, then gave us His Son, and then gave us a way through the sprinkling of His blood to blot out that sin, to become a citizen in the kingdom, simply by walking by faith and finishing up this life and living a unique life, every day unique to me, and that I will be able to share, if I remain faithful with you, in the ever after. And He gave His Son. He gave me not only that, but He gave me the inspired Word, which is able to make me wise unto salvation. He's given me every word right here. Everything I need is right here. What more does He need to do? Did He not give me enough promise? Enough promise of wonderful things? Well, the promises are beyond comprehension. So, perhaps His grace is, in fact, sufficient. All the things that I don't deserve.
So, he goes on to say, Peter does. Does he go on to say in verse 13, well, don't worry. I know this life is a little tough. And sometimes tough things happen, and we all get older, and people that are very selfish and self-centered who don't even think about going to church on Sundays are going, I don't know how you go to church because, if you're really committed to this job, I don't know how you have time to be going to church. You should be working on Sunday. We got a meeting. Or I don't know how you have time to take vacation. I just let my vacation ride. I've heard people say that before, brag about that. Kind of like complain while sort of in a backward way bragging that they don't take vacation because, well, they're just too committed to the job. And they're divorced. They don't have relationships. They've sacrificed them all for their worldly endeavors. And then you get older and
And all of a sudden, things are... right now, I tell you, one of my prayers is I'm praying for just enough strength, another portion of strength that I can get through this new job thing so I can get set up. Because I'm honestly, for the first time, I'm like, I don't know if I got the strength. You know, that's my prayer, is give me strength just to get through this one extra thing, get set up. And sometimes, you know, in verse 13, does it go on to say, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I will, if you're sanctified in Christ, I will give you that strength to make it. And I'll give you that to survive and do well at work. And I'll work it out for you. Now, is that what it says? No, actually, I think it says something like, wherefore, for these reasons, kind of says, roll up your sleeves. Gird up your loins, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. So I don't want to be discouraging, but that's not one of those that's like, all right, don't you worry, we're just, now that you're Christians, all problems are going to go away. Instead it says, stay focused on that grace that will be revealed unto you. My grace is sufficient for thee. Roll up your sleeves, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, not conforming to the ways of the world, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your lifestyle. Not conforming to this world, but renewing your mind daily. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So, on the other hand, it's not just... I think I would be remiss not to say, it. While this kind of says, be focused, stay for Peter's saying, be vigilant. No, keep your eye on the goal. As Paul would say, the crown of life is to be looked forward to. The grace will be received. But also, I would be remiss to say, also we, with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a family, and that's why we are here. You're not by yourselves either. So that's why our relationships are so important, because these are relationships you go live with all eternity. It's like we were saying during the Bible lesson, oh my goodness, you're gonna be in my family? Yes, yes. Hopefully we all will embrace one another as family for eternity. And that also means while we're here on this earth, we lift up one another. So, be obedient. As obedient children. Verse 14, be holy. Verse 15, be worthy servants. Be a prepared servant. Be prepared. Be each day the kind of servant that God would have us to be, as we keep in mind what our job here is another day in eternity as the blessed and sanctified in Him. And as I wrap up, I'll jump one more time, okay? I'm going to jump out of 1 Peter, so to Acts chapter 2. In verse 17, and if you call on the Father, and this is that calling that we were talking about, Steve, last Wednesday. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, He doesn't care where you're from, it's without respect of person. It doesn't matter where you were born or what nationality you were, or male, female. There are no boundaries in this kingdom. But if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your empty manner of life, by traditions from your fathers, but instead with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so, I would say, like in Ephesians 2:19, now therefore be no more strangers if you are not a member of this sanctified family. Then in Ephesians 2, verse 19, it says, now therefore be no more a stranger and a foreigner, but instead be a fellow citizen with the saints in the household of God. Be that. Be obedient. Be holy. And be a sojourner with all of us. In Acts chapter 2, he talks about here, and Peter's talking about, which, by the way, Peter remembers what he said in Acts chapter 2 as well. But he says here in Acts chapter 2, we go to 38 a lot. He says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and in the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. With that said, I'll give the lesson to you. Thank you for your time. But I hope it's encouraging that you will continue to be faithful, you'll continue to be steadfast, and be encouraged, even though life can be difficult. And that if you're not yet obedient and part of the sanctified, then I encourage you to hear that gospel call that we live in today, to hear and heed the call of God, to invoke those blessings through baptism for the remission of sin. And I invite you to come forward and do that as we are led in our song of invitation.